All right, everybody, it's that time of the week again. Welcome to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. I am Chris Farley, Farley Betts on X, Pro Sports Bettor, football contest specialist, won circa twice the last 3 years. And it's great to be back here with all of you for another week talking NFL handicapping, NFL betting. As a reminder, I will provide my insight here on a weekly basis, including leans on every game. Some of those leans will be actual plays, bets I'm making and giving out to my paying subscribers. I will not indicate that those are real bets or plays on this show because that wouldn't be fair to my paying subscribers. You can become a paying subscriber to my Farley Betts Substack by visiting farleybets.substack.com. You can also get my daily or weekly plays at sportsmemo.com. Again, I would only ask if you're looking for a full season package, especially, please just go to Substack because I get 100% of those proceeds. Keeps this engine running, keeps the lights on for me so I can keep on providing top shelf analysis for you as a professional bettor. This is what I do now. You might have seen some of my tweets about 6 months ago. Had some changes in my career. So now I can put all of my energy, all of my time, you know, besides personal stuff, to sports betting, particularly the NFL. I do handicap the NBA, WNBA, tennis, UFC, and other sports, but NFL is absolutely my bread and butter. Although you wouldn't know that the first 2 weeks. We'll get to that in a second. Also, just want to emphasize that this show is mainly for the common Joe or Josephine. The majority of pro sports bettors already have their positions in. I get that. Feel free to listen if you consider yourself a professional, someone who does this at a very high level. But we all know that the betting public gets to the window a little later in the week. So this is for you guys and girls. This podcast and this video show will be available on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and of course on Substack. So got to be transparent, always transparent. Last week was bad. Went 3-7. Lost 12 units. So we're down 15 units this season. The good news is this is exactly what we did last season. We were actually down even more, 19 units last year, maybe even a little more than that. And we bounced back, finished 23 units up in the season. We expect the same exact thing. I'm going to have to take a harder look at me personally in weeks 1 and 2, because, and I've said this on many shows and podcasts before, a huge part of winning in sports betting, I would argue the biggest part, is your own mentality, your own health, your own mental health and your mental game, right? And like how comfortable you feel at certain moments in the season. Apparently, I don't feel very comfortable in weeks 1 and 2. Now, of course, last season, famously, favorites were getting murdered. This season, favorites of -4.5 or more are 12-0 straight up. They're covering at a very high rate. You know, favorites are by far covering ahead of underdogs. I don't have the exact stats ahead of in front of me here. But as the NFL, you know, it's a marketplace, right? It's just like the stock market, right? So things fluctuate up and down. Now we're seeing favorites covering and winning a lot. That will come back around as well. We'll make adjustments. You should make adjustments. It's very tough to predict early in the season. I mean, I'm seeing many, many pro bettors who are struggling, who are having challenges. That is not uncommon. So don't worry, right? If you're listening to my leans on this show, if you're one of my clients, hang with me. We're going to get through this. We're going to be in the black, which means we're going to be in the green, and things will come around as they always do. You got to trust the process, you know, especially I've been doing this for over a decade. You know, obviously have some big wins in my career. So there is no panic on my end. Join me, will you? Hopefully you are. Every week, every game, covering these matchups from a betting perspective, let's get to it. Week 3 ahead of us, starting with Thursday night football. And you got the Miami Dolphins going up into Orchard Park to face the Buffalo Bills. My question for this game is, will Miami's offense be able to keep up? I would lean Miami in this spot. Miami is +11.5, totals 50. Again, I'm referring to all spreads and totals via Bet Online. Just makes it a easy and common thing for me to do every week. And also, Bet Online is a sharper sports book, which means that they allow higher limits. and a lot of professionals wager at BetOnline. So I like to go by what their market says. 11.5 is how much Buffalo is favored at home, understandably so. Totals at 50. Although I got to admit, when I first saw this big of a spread in week three, it was a little surprising still. Obviously, the Bills are as explosive as ever, 900 total yards so far. Really unleashed their passing game in week one, their running game in week two. The Miami defense looks like the worst in the NFL, right up there with the Cincinnati Bengals, as just a resistance that's not going to keep back or hold back anyone. So I don't think the Bills are going to have any issue scoring in this game. Their team total is an interesting bet. It's at 30 or 31.5. But the Miami offense did look formidable last week. Of course, they're facing the Patriots at home. The Patriots right now qualify as an average defense, but they got a lot of talent on that defense. They have a guy, Mike Vrabel, who coaches up defense. So it was impressive to see Miami putting out some good, like normal, what we're used to product last week. Tua was 26-32. Tyreek Hill went over 100 yards. Devon Achane looked explosive and fast. So I think Miami in this super, super desperate spot, 0-2, can keep up. I think they lose, but I think this is a 10-point win for the Bills, like 34-24, 31-21, something like that. Lean to the over, lean to Miami, but I'm not taking Miami straight up. Again, I don't really reveal the bets that I make on this show officially, but I will say that I can't take Miami straight up because of their organizational issues, right? It's there's just too much negativity right now. Got to stay away. Indiana. Am I talking about the Fever? Am I talking about the Pacers? No. Indianapolis Colts at the Tennessee Titans. Titans plus 3.5 at home. Totals 43.5. Can Daniel Jones keep this offense going on the road, right? Because the Colts have had two great opening spots, right? Against Miami, but at home. And then Denver was really challenging. But again, they're at home. They're on turf. They're comfortable. They get to stay in the same exact place for, you know, 3-4 weeks, right? Finishing up the preseason. So really comfy. But now Daniel Jones and Shane Steichen have to go on grass in Nashville against a Titans team where, you know, from the outside looking in, they lost by margin last week against the Rams at home. But really, the score was 20-16. The game was very close. And then there was a sack fumble, right? That's the Titans' offensive line that has some issues. So CJ or Cam Ward gets sacked, fumbles, and that kind of turned around the game. 27-16 Rams turned into 33-19. You know, when a team goes down by that many points in the fourth quarter, their percentage chances of covering go way, way down on top of that. But they were hanging in. And the Titans defense is very legitimate. They hit hard. They can really limit teams. Like the Rams did enough, and Matthew Stafford is a brilliant quarterback, but we can't compare Matthew Stafford to Daniel Jones. And we certainly can't compare the Rams wideouts to what Daniel Jones and the Colts are bringing. Now, I do like pretty much everything I'm seeing from the Colts. Well-balanced team. DJ is comfortable. A lot of confidence. That goes a long way in the team winning. But there is going to be regression at a certain point. And this is an AFC South divisional game. I lean Titans because you're getting the hook there at plus 3.5. And I lean to the under in this one. Looking like a more like a sloppier AFC South sort of game. I think there's regression finally in the Colts product. Falcons at the Panthers. Panthers are plus 5.5 at home. Total is 44. Can the Atlanta Falcons keep the same energy that we saw last week? Because in week two, holy shit, was I impressed by the Atlanta Falcons and just the way that they came out in the game, which is actually very similar to how they came out in their week one game against the Bucs. The Bucs just for two straight weeks in a row, the Bucs just maintained their cool and poise and they pulled it out, which we'll say more about the Bucs later. But Atlanta's been very impressive. I was particularly impressed by their defense. Now, of course, when you face a rookie quarterback like J.J. McCarthy, you know, you can rattle him pretty easily. And looking back, like the Vikings probably shouldn't have even been the favorite against that team at home. This is a very talented team in Atlanta. They play fast on both sides of the ball. But now they're going to have to keep that same energy going on the road at Carolina. There's something sneaky about this game because Carolina finished their matchup against the Cardinals last week looking much better, producing on offense. They ended up covering that game, even though they were down by, what, 3 touchdowns, you know, heading into the second half. I believe they outscored the Cardinals 19-7. So I liked what Carolina did at the end of that game. Obviously, they're at home. It's a divisional game. Things just tend to get a little tighter in those scenarios when there's that kind of familiarity. I think the Panthers could be a live dog. Now, the Panthers did, like, they just put, I believe, their center and their right guard or their left guard on IR. So the protection for Bryce Young is very questionable. This Atlanta pass rush has been very good. But if Bryce Young can find a rhythm and they can protect him a little bit, I think they hang around in this game. So lean Carolina +5.5, total 44. Obviously don't feel as great about it with those offensive linemen out, those starters out for the Panthers. Vegas at DC. The Commanders -3.5, totals 44. I don't think Jaden Daniels is going to play in this game. That's obviously why we saw the spread move so much, right? From -6.5 down to -3.5. And now getting the hook on Washington is tough because, you know, Vegas did not look good in week two. The Chargers really humbled them, but they looked pretty good in week one. So Vegas looking to kind of recoup and recreate what they did the first week of the season. And Marcus Mariota, though, who will start for Jaden Daniels if Jaden Daniels doesn't play, he played really good last season in this spot with the Commanders. I mean, 4 touchdowns, 8.9 yards per pass, 80% completion percentage, 365 yards in 2 games. Just he kept the team afloat. It was 2 wins. Looked good. Like, looked like a Jaden Daniels-esque performance. So I think Marcus Mariota can get the job done. The Commanders are coming off extended rest from Thursday Night Football and an embarrassing loss on Thursday Night Football. So I still lean Washington. I think this is a better organization these days. And I did not like what I saw from Geno Smith and the Raiders, who just, you know, you got guys like Ashton Jeanty. There's a few highlights of him really, really giving up blocking for his quarterback in that game. Like, you don't like to see that from a guy who was really touting himself coming into the NFL and, like, not showing effort. So Pete Carroll got to get up those guys' asses and show something here. I don't necessarily believe it. Lean Washington -3.5. Lean to the under 44 too. I just think it's like a, you know, both offenses struggling. The Commanders quarterback, you know, the backup's probably going to be in. So I think this is a lower scoring game. Packers at the Browns. Browns +7.5. Total is 41.5. Anytime you see a dog that's +7.5, you have to consider it. Why? Because, again, key numbers are so important. Key numbers in the NFL, the most common margins of victory, 3, 6, 7. Twos are getting more important. Tens are getting more important. But 3, 6, 7 are still the primary key numbers. You're getting over every one of those numbers on a home team coming off a bad loss. Now, the Packers have looked like arguably the best team in the NFL. Their defense has been amazing. The front seven is vicious. Micah Parsons sends this defense into a different stratosphere. Every one of their defensive backs can play sticky on wide receivers. So it's hard to pick the Browns, Joe Flacco and the Browns, who Flacco is making a lot of dumb mistakes, and now he's playing a defense that's going to force him into mistakes. It's going to pressure him all game. The Browns' offensive line did not hold up last week against the Ravens. So it's like, I don't feel good about the Browns, but just the number itself, right? In this game of sports betting, it's often about the number. But how good are the Packers at this point? Can they go on the road and put out the same product? If they can, the Packers are going to win this game by 20 points. If they can't, you know, Cleveland is a tough, strange place to play, and the Browns can play up. That's for sure. They can perform well. Look what they did week one against Cincinnati. So lean Cleveland, because that's the sports better number guy in me. Don't feel great about it. Bengals at the Vikings. Vikings -3, totals 42.5. The battle of backups. My question is, how will Carson Wentz fit into this Kevin O'Connell system? My argument for the Vikings is that Carson Wentz could be a major upgrade, not just an upgrade, a major upgrade. This is a professional quarterback now. He's been in the NFL for what, like almost 10 years? A lot of experience, has a coach in Kevin O'Connell who knows how to groom and prepare quarterbacks, arguably as good as any coach in the NFL. Play calling typically is pristine. Now, they want to have Christian Darrisaw this week. I'm going to look that up as I talk, try to multitask here a little bit, because the absence of Christian Darrisaw on the Vikings offensive line has been a huge problem. We saw it last week with the Falcons just pressuring and pressuring J.J. McCarthy all game. I mean, there's hints, I guess, that he will play. He's limited in practice. He returned on Wednesday, but limited. So we shall see. But if Carson Wentz can get some time, I think this could look like a much better offense with Wentz in there instead of J.J. McCarthy, who I fell for last week. I liked the Vikings. It didn't look great, that's for sure. J.J. McCarthy clearly needs to, you know, he needs more playing time. He needs more experience. He just looked lost out there. But now you got Jake Browning and the Browns, the Bengals coming to Minnesota. And Jake Browning has played very well as a backup for Joe Burrow in the past. Just so sad about Joe Burrow. Can't even talk about it. 2023 put up some really good stats, right? Like, you know, had the Bengals winning quite a few games. But I really, really hate this matchup for the Bengals and that offensive line that has a lot of problems. I mean, Browning threw three interceptions last week, gave the game to Jacksonville. Somehow they still won, should not have won. That Minnesota defense is as aggressive as it gets. I think Brian Flores is going to send the house at Jake Browning and really try to scare him early in this game. So this is a high volatility game, but I think there is a scenario where Minnesota could blow out the Bengals because of how their defense performs. And as long as Carson Wentz looks okay. So lean Minnesota, lean over 42.5 is just a little low for two backup quarterbacks that can get the job done, especially indoors. Really interesting game. Really fascinating that this is a 1 o'clock game, because it obviously could be a marquee game. It could be an NFC championship game this season. Rams at the Eagles. Eagles -3. This line was -4.5, I believe, at least -4. It's down to -3. Total's 44.5. The Eagles will need to have a passing game if they want to win this game, in my opinion. They have not had much of a passing game. Zero passing touchdowns. I think 300 total passing yards through 2 weeks. You know, Jalen Hurts just isn't doing much. P.S. He doesn't usually do much anyway. But I must say, as much as I talk shit about the Eagles as they win Super Bowls and keep on winning every week, you know, maybe there's some bias in there, but I can't deny, like, organizationally, this Eagles team has something figured out, right? They got some secrets unlocked. Just the way they approach their ideologies, their belief systems, the things they say to the media. Even Nick Sirianni is saying a lot of things I like. You know, they stick to the tush push because it's legal, because they can. Like, just try to stop it. You can't. And defensively, they always do enough. They're going to have to bring their best, though, because the Rams can make a very good argument that they are the better football team at this point in the season. Two really impressive wins so far against challenging opponents, against really good defenses. Matthew Stafford still playing very crisp, buttoned-up football, buttoned-up quarterbacking. Defense is growing, is getting more vicious by the week. They have a lot of talented guys in that front seven. They're getting a ton of sacks. I think they had 5 sacks on Cam Ward last week, forced some turnovers. So this is not going to be easy sledding for the Eagles. I think it's a really close game. If you can still get the hook on the Rams, I lean +3.5, lean to the under. I think this is a scrappy NFC battle with two defenses going at it. Pittsburgh at New England. New England is +1.5, totals 44.5. Where, oh, where is the Steelers defense? Because I haven't seen it through 2 weeks. I mean, week one, the Jets, who looked absolutely awful against the Buffalo defense last week. Tyrod Taylor, Justin Fields, didn't matter. Absolutely awful. That same Jets offense looked fantastic against the Pittsburgh defense, which is, again, it's like a Hall of Fame defense, like Justin Fields said, right? This is a top shelf talent-wise on paper defense. Where is Pittsburgh's defense? Now they're going on the road against a Patriots team that has to feel a little bit better about themselves. Got a win last week. Put up some good offense against the bad Miami defense last week, but still got a win. Got some guys on defense. Not going to be easy for Aaron Rodgers. I think the Patriots make a fine teaser leg. I'm considering it myself. Lean New England in a really close game. Gross. Gross. Jets at the Bucs. This is going to be Tyrod Taylor, most likely. Justin Fields going through concussion protocol. I believe he has to pass some tests today to start. I doubt it's going to happen. We know the way the NFL works. The market is showing some faith in Tyrod Taylor, though. And if you watch his film last week when he came in, he absolutely looked like the more stoic, controlled, professional quarterback compared to Justin Fields. Threw some really good balls into tight windows. And I will say, Tampa Bay is coming off two wins where they came back, you know, scored touchdowns in the final minutes of two games in a row. Last week was really impressive. I love Baker Mayfield on the Bucs. I've loved them all. You know, coming into the season, I got some futures on the Bucs, so I'm feeling great about that. Like, I think they're a better team than everyone thinks still, and a dark horse in the NFC. But man, you talk about a difference in emotion and like a letdown spot. This is even though it's at home, this is a pretty big letdown spot for the Bucs. But we saw it last season. They can let down at home. Like, they can put out some stinkers. So the market's showing a little faith in Tyrod Taylor starting here, down to -6.5. Let me just make sure that there's no like breaking news that I missed this morning. But I don't think that we have any positive signs about Justin Fields just yet. Yeah, they ruled out Fields, right? So yeah, I thought I saw that. So market's showing some faith though, because this was at 7. Right now we're seeing it at 6.5. Very interesting here for a Jets team that obviously 0-2, super desperate against a 2-0 and just barely 2-0 Bucks team. Watch out in this one. Are the Jets a live dog? I don't want to go that far, but lean Jets. Houston at Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a 1-point favorite. Total's 44. To me, the game is going to be defined here. Jacksonville's subpar pass rush against Houston's subpar offensive line. Who's going to win that battle? Because if C.J. Stroud can finally get comfortable, if C.J. Stroud can finally, you know, throw for like over 250 yards and they can get maybe a semblance of a run game going, 0-2 Houston certainly didn't expect to be 0-2 in this position with an excellent defense that underperformed last week, that's for sure. They can force Trevor Lawrence, the very average and mistake-prone Trevor Lawrence, into some turnovers. They can cause havoc. Lean Houston here. Don't trust Jacksonville. Don't really trust Houston either, but 0-2 Houston, I can't picture them going 0-3. Broncos at the Chargers. 2 weeks in, can't say anything negative about the Chargers. Their defense is playing aggressive, really high-level football. Justin Herbert has literally been perfect. He looks fantastic. He looks confident, more confident than ever. Bo Nix and the Broncos are going to have to radically improve their product if they're going to win this game, or if they're even going to be close in this game, in my opinion. Lean Chargers. That's all I got to say. Like, Bo Nix, step up, or else this one ain't going to be pretty either. Saints at the Seahawks. Seahawks -7.5. Total's 41.5. Is Spencer Rattler, like, is he truly a better quarterback under the Kellen Moore system? Because so far, 5 touchdowns, 65% completion percentage. Like, he's looked poised. He looks like a guy who wants to prove doubters wrong. And good for him, right? I mean, you know, I had no faith in him into this season. But he looked better than advertised, that's for sure. But this is a really tough spot. You're going up into Seattle. Like, there's a reason why this is not just 6, not just 6.5, 7. This is 7.5 in favor of the Seahawks at home. A really tough place to play. A defense that could be without Devon Witherspoon, who they were without last week, and Julian Love, two crucial defensive backs, and the market has not budged. The market thinks the Seahawks are going to blow them out. Seahawks certainly qualify as a teaser leg. I still lean Seattle. I think we're going to start to see the deconstruction of the Saints, who are in their first road game here. Saints are, like, all around, though, have played way better than I thought they would. All right. here's a hold your nose at this one. The Dallas Cowboys at the Chicago Bears, plus one is Chicago at home, totals 50.5. Who do you trust more in this one? Now, obviously, Dak Prescott is the better quarterback. Like, that's not a debate. Dak Prescott is a better quarterback, way better quarterback. I don't care how you feel about Dak Prescott at this point in your life, at this point in his career. He is a far better quarterback and leader than Caleb Williams. Duh. But Caleb Williams and the Bears are 0-2. They're at home. Man, it's interesting how the total is 50.5, too, because you can't trust either one of these defenses. I mean, it's been bad. It's been really bad. But seeing Dallas's offensive line last week and how they capitulated, I can't support Dallas here either. I got to say, this is a stinker. I have no thoughts. I hate it. I hate everything about this game. I mean, you would have to force me into like a torture chamber room to watch this game and no other game. Like this, that would be awful for me. I would rather watch any other game than this game because I think these two teams operationally are so flawed. My perception on the Cowboys has gone up and down tremendously already through 2 weeks. And while I trust Dak Prescott and his good wide receivers, I don't trust much else about Dallas. And what the hell do you trust about the Chicago Bears at this point? Ben Johnson said it himself, by the way. He's like, we're not practicing like a team who can win anything. So there you go. Cardinals at the 49ers. 49ers have moved up to -2.5. They were -1 at one point, -1.5. Now they're up a little bit more. There are signs that Brock Purdy is going to play in this one. I mean, can Arizona prove that they're legit? Because the Cardinals have had the easiest schedule in the NFL so far, right? That Panthers week two, Saints in week one. And by the way, they didn't cover in week two. And they probably shouldn't have covered in week one, you know? So this is a Chargers team who is teeter-tottering on, like, how good are they really? Like, nothing about the Cardinals. They have a really good defensive back from the draft this season. He's played very well. You know, Trey McBride is really good. Kyler Murray still has highlight plays here and there. But nothing about this Cardinals team is like, wow, look how good they are in this aspect. You know, and San Francisco, despite their injuries, again, a buttoned up operation, a revenge season for Kyle Shanahan and his entire administration, a revenge year for Robert Saleh after coaching the Jets and getting fired and going over there now, comfortable as San Francisco's defensive coordinator. Defense is already playing above expectations with him coaching them. Lean San Francisco, lean to the over because the San Francisco offense is humming. No matter who's a quarterback, like they can produce. Kansas City at the Giants. Giants are +6 at home. Again, one of those home underdogs, 0-2, +6, getting a touchdown here. Totals 45. I'll say this. And like we can talk all day about Kansas City, right? About the, you know, what's the Taylor Swift effect on Travis Kelce? You know, the lack of weapons that Patrick Mahomes has. I think he's getting back Xavier Worthy this week. He's trending up in that direction at least. Kansas City defense is trying so hard to keep this team in games and playing really well for the most part. Like the Eagles didn't do much last week. I think Jalen Hurts threw for like 95 yards, you know, like barely over 200 total yards for the Eagles last week. The Chiefs still lose. So it's been tough sledding for Kansas City. This checks out as an like explosive opportunity for them to show up and blow out the Giants. But I don't know if they're capable of blowing out any team. The Giants front seven, I know they allowed Dallas to score 40 last week, but the Giants front seven is very, very good. I mean, they're flying around the ball. I think they're going to be able to get to Patrick Mahomes, who is absolutely missing Joe Tooney. You know, Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey is still there, but there's another guy that they're missing from this offseason. Kansas City's offensive line is not as good. Mahomes is under pressure. I think the Giants can be feisty in this one. The Giants will have to produce some real offense again, though. Like last week is not going to be the same. This isn't Dallas's defense. This is a really good Kansas City defense. But two unfamiliar teams, the Giants typically do well in these situations. Giants +6 is where I would lean, and I would also lean to the under. Like there's a real chance that neither offense does much in this game. Lions at the Baltimore Ravens is the final game as we near 30 minutes in our weekly analysis of every single game. Thank you so much for tuning in. Follow me at Farley Betts on X. Subscribe, farleybets.substack.com. A prove it game for Detroit, because you just blew out the Chicago Bears, who nobody has confidence in. Put up 52. Very good. Very good, Detroit. Now you got to go to Baltimore, where 2 years ago you got blown out 38-6. The Ravens, and Lamar Jackson in particular, he is 24-2 against NFC opponents, and there's a lot of blowouts in there. At Baltimore, this is a really good, typically, a really good setup for a Ravens team that just tends to play more free, easygoing, confident football against these unfamiliar opponents. Like, it's usually the Browns, the Steelers, you know, familiar teams that beat the Ravens. Teams like Detroit, not so much. I fear that even though the market, by the way, this was six, the market is down to -4.5 in favor of Baltimore at home. Totals up to 52.5. That's no surprise. I do think there's plenty of offense in this game, but I fear that this is yet another example of the Ravens and Lamar Jackson handling the Lions, and you know, who are on the road away from their turf and against this Ravens team who gets time to prepare and just plays their best football in these scenarios. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the data. So lean Baltimore. You know, as a fan, and I got family members who love the Lions based in Detroit area, that'd be cool if the Lions can hang around. Don't feel confident about that. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. I talk very fast, but we still get it all out in about 30 to 31 minutes. Again, follow me at Farley Betts. I'm here all the time. Constant content on the NFL, focused solely on the NFL over at Substack. We do have NBA season coming around. You know, UFC is always sort of around. We do bet other things. Plenty of free content for everybody. Consider being a paying subscriber. Hey, love you. Free speech is important, is it not? So just saying I love you. I can't get arrested or fired for that, right? Okay, thank God. All right, see you guys later. Bye.